Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast with me, Maria Jones. Knowledge and inspiration for teaching and practicing chair-based yoga.
Welcome to another episode of the Chair Yoga Podcast. In today's episode, we have got Susan Rose, who comes from a family of teachers and has always loved reading, dance, and gymnastics. She started teaching gymnastics to children at the age of 15, owned a gymnastics training center, and was a physical education teacher for 17 years. When she retired and moved to Florida, she began teaching yoga at local studios and libraries. She enjoyed teaching preschoolers and seniors, both ends of the age spectrum. And she feels that yoga, especially chair yoga, is a practice that we can do for the rest of our lives. She loves helping seniors discover ways they can keep active and feel alive. She is an experienced yoga teacher and has completed many yoga teacher trainings, especially chair yoga teacher trainings. And today's topic of conversation is yoga for your brain. Thank you, Susan, for coming. Tell us what brought you into the space of chair yoga in particular, because it appears that your background is mostly kids yoga. So what brought you into the space of chair yoga?
A friend of mine was teaching at a assisted living facility, and then she got a full-time job. And she said, would you like to take over this class? And I was hesitant at first, and I went and watched her do it. And it was a situation where there was the assisted living people that some of them were in wheelchairs. A lot of them had walkers and canes. And then there was another group that was the independent living side, and they were just in chairs. So I went with her once or twice. And then I thought, okay, let's give this a go. And I didn't think I would like it. And I didn't think I would be good at it. And I found I loved it. I really loved it. So then I started doing some other trainings in chair yoga just to get more comfortable with that age group and just to explore and find out more what there is to do with that age. And I just love it. And I'm 64 now. Sooner or later, I'm not going to be down on the floor either. So I feel it's a practice that, yeah, somebody can do the rest of their lives. I've seen these people in wheelchairs doing real yoga. So I know that it's a practice that can take you to all the way through your life.
There's a big range between the chair and the floor anyway.
Yeah, and I still do mat classes, but I know I won't be able to do them forever probably. And the way I teach a lot of variations in my chair class. So I can teach the wheelchair and I can teach people that can come down to the floor for Shavasana. And I can make it pretty active, pretty strenuous for the people that need that. But then when you need to go into the assisted living places, then you've got to really, I had to unthink about what a yoga pose was. It's not standing in warrior two. It's moving your joints. It's your breath. It's your focus. It's all of that. So that was a big thing in the beginning is, okay, you can't just take your mat practice and sit down and do it. That's not going to work. But along the way, I discovered a lot of fun movement patterns that I use that they really seem to enjoy, and it's good for their brain. So we can talk more about that.
So since we are leading into that, tell us what yoga for your brain is.
Yoga for your brain. When you move, you create neural pathways up in your brain. And they have found, they used to think that your brain neurons would just die off, but they don't. You can regenerate them. And when we have habits of movement, it's like a groove up there, right? You can brush your teeth with one hand and not even think about it because you've done it so many times. But if you go and try the other hand, you're going to find out that groove is not like this groove. It's about regrowing new pathways. And it's about a lot of the stuff I do is about connecting the right and the left hemispheres of the brain and making them work together. So I do a lot of work across the midline of the body, because that's what makes the left brain talk to the right brain and the right brain talk to the left brain and get all that good integration. And there's just a lot of fun things that you can do to help with that.
Absolutely. I talk a lot about this. I call it bilateral coordination.
Right. Yeah.
So the two sides of our body, which are connected to the two sides of our brain, which is the opposite. Actually, yes. The left opposite is the right of the left. So yes,
and this the right is left.
It is incredible to see how confused I get when I do those brain, shall we say, exercises. And I find them incredibly important in bringing focus into the class as well. So what makes them important in chair yoga classes?
I found Dan Siegel's work, and he says, to make positive changes in your brain, you need repetition. So we do that in yoga classes. You need novelty. So something new, you're making a new connection up there. So the patterns and the crossover things that I do are not things you would probably normally do in movement. So it's making all those new connections, which you mentioned cognitive reserve earlier. The more connections you have up there, when you start losing them as you get older, the more you start with, the better off you're going to be. So we want to build up that cognitive reserve. And then he talks about emotional arousal. So that's something that helps your brain. So when we're doing these, it's usually fun. We're usually laughing about it, and you have a response to whether you could do it or not. So there's some emotion involved in it. And then focus and awareness are good for your brain. So when you do these patterns, you really have to focus and concentrate to get them right. And it makes you aware of where you are in space. Okay, that's my right hand. That's my left hand. That's my right foot. That's my left foot. My feet are on the floor. My bum is on the chair, you know, all that, where I am in space, which is really important for being able to move with ease and your balance and preventing falls. So that's like a biggie with the older population. Anything we can do to help them have better balance and not fall is a big point that we need to be working on. So all of these things that are going to integrate right and left are going to help with all of that.
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't really have to do with age, because cognitive reserve is something that we have to use it or lose it. Our brain, our balance, all those sorts of things. Our use it or lose it thing. Movement is a use it or lose it. Our brain power is use it or lose it. So introducing those in our classes, whether they are for older adults or for any other age, is important. And I totally agree with you. Without trying to say, can you suggest, maybe from the top of your head, a couple of things or tips that yoga teachers that are listening to this podcast can take into their classes right now?
Sure. And I know they can't see it, but if I cue it correctly, they can probably follow along. Just really simple things. Take your hands and just interlace your fingers. Just bring your hands together and interlace. Now notice which thumb you put on the top. Probably your dominant hand. I'm right-handed. I always put my right hand on top. Now switch and put your left hand on top. Doesn't that feel weird? Yeah, it's really strange. So now you've just told your brain something new and you've made some new connect. Twists. Anytime you're twisting, it's about crossing the midline of your body, right? So anytime you're twisting, you can do a little pattern where you just cross, if you cross your right hand over to your left shoulder and then your left hand over to your right shoulder, you're crossing the midline of the body. That's a real simple one. Crossing over to touch the opposite knee. So sometimes I'll start in a cactus position. So I've got my hands up and my elbows straight out, and I'm going to take my right hand to my left knee. And then I see you doing it. Return to cactus and take your left hand to your right knee, and always return to cactus. So that starts really simple. Now, here's how you can build that. I do about four of those. So they get it. Okay, now we got that. Good. Now you're going to lift your left knee as you touch it with your right hand. Lift the knee, put everything back. Left hand, right knee, touch it, bring it back. Do about four of those. They get that. Okay, we've got that groove going. Now we're going to kick that leg. We're going to lift the knee and kick the foot out. Bring it all back. Other side, kick it out. Bring it all back. Bunch of those. The hardest one, anytime you look away, is really hard. So you're in your cactus, you're going to lift your left leg, right hand touches it, and then look at that left hand that's up there, and then bring it all back. And that's usually where everybody loses it and laughs, because that's weird. Because if you're looking away,
yes. You see Maria.
That's one of my favorites. And you can just do the very first step. If I'm with assisted living and people in wheelchairs, maybe I'm just doing the touch your knee and come back up. Touch your knee, come back up.
I absolutely love the way you're doing this, because it has elements of layering into it. You can start and then layer in another movement and layer in another, so people can decide for themselves at what level they want to be at. And by doing that, I also feel my abdominals working.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a core work. Yeah, and I usually say, stay there if you want to stay with that one. If you want a little more, lift your knee. If you want a little more, kick it out. Okay, this is the really hard one. If you want to try, look at your hand. So yeah, you can build it up progressively. So maybe they're just still touching the knee every time. That's fine if that's where they're at. So that's one of my favorite ones. Anytime you're marching, like marching in place and swinging the opposite arm is a good one to do. Kicking out and reaching with the opposite hand. Now, maybe you're not touching your toe, but kick out and just reach with the opposite hand. So anytime you're doing opposite, right arm, left leg, left arm, any of is working both sides of your body. Let me see. I got it. Oh, our eagles are a perfect example of crossing the midline, right?
Yeah.
That's another one you can notice. Which arm did you choose to put on top? Probably your dominant one. So of course, always do the other side so that we're getting both sides and you get some new grooves going there. Oh, lazy eights. This is another one. So let me just back up a minute. A lot of this theory and content, especially about crossing the midline, comes from something called Brain Jam. It's educational kinesiology, and it was developed by Paul and Gail Dennison. I don't know, in the 60s or 70s. And it was a lot of work with children that had learning disables and learning blocks. And they found exercises and moves that would integrate right and left, the top of your brain, the bottom of your brain, the front of your brain, back of your brain. So a lot of these come from them. And then I've sort of adapted them for yoga. But one thing they do is called lazy eights. So if you imagine that your nose is a piece of chalk and you're standing at the chalkboard, so I teach it, you're going to draw a lazy eight with your nose, but you always want to start going up on the left. So I would, and you could add breath. I can't breathe and talk at the same time, but you could add the breath with it.
Of course. Oh,
you would go up and around.
That's a good one.
Down, come. You always want to come back to your center point, and then the other side goes up to the right, down and around. You can also do it with your eyes, like use your eyes to go around each way. Now, the reason you go up to the left first and then up to the right is that's how we write. If you think of the letter D, you go up and around on the circle. The letter B, you go up and around to the right. So it's patterning so that it helps dyslexia. But anyway, it's good for your neck too, because you're going to get some nice, gentle neck rolls. You can, if you want to keep it small, you can keep it small. If you want to make it big, real big, depending
pretty
on how
cool
the neck feels. But yeah. And then that same pattern you can do with your hands. You can take like your thumbs. I just touch my thumbs together. This feels a little like Tai Chi as well. Touch your thumbs together, spread your fingers, and then just pattern that lazy eight. Always come back through the center, up and around, back, and follow that with your eyes. You can add it. You can make that one more twisty. Yeah.
And it's good for the core as well, because they have to keep themselves up.
And it is. You're getting some core work. Absolutely.
Absolutely love those. Thank you for sharing all those. I will write them down in the blog post that normally or that sometimes accompanies the podcasts. I have to list those one by one when I edit the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay. That was fantastic.
I would say my YouTube, I have on my YouTube channel, I've got a playlist called Yoga for Your Brain, and it has 5 different short videos that has the cactus crossover. It has some reaches where you're going up, up, outside twist. There's 5 of them. So you can, if you want to see some of the patterns that I do, fingers, and there's one just for your feet and your hands working together and then working in opposite. It's all about, it's playful. It's like toes up, fingers up, toes down, fingers down. And then you go toes up, fingers down, and you just switch everything back and forth. And then we go in it. There's just a bunch of them.
I will add the link for your YouTube channel on the podcast description, which these days podcasts have gone a long way. You can actually click on those links and yeah. It takes you directly to that. So we'll add all that and your website onto the podcast links. Tell us, other than the links that I am going to add for your YouTube channel, where can we find you and what will we find there?
My website is www.susanroseyoga.com. It's mostly for my kids' yoga books. I have two kids' yoga books that have a yoga practice written into the story, but there is a page for chair yoga, and it's got some information about the benefits for chair. And if you go down to the bottom and sign up, you'll get some videos. There's four videos in a row, with one's a long practice, one's a standing practice, one's a guided meditation, I think, that you'll get for 4 weeks.
So it's been really wonderful to speak to you today. Thank you so much for being, as usual, a wonderful guest. I loved having you here, like I did previous podcast. And I hope we get to collaborate again. Thank you so much.
I would love that. Thank you so much.